listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
All right.
From the Blogulator.com, this is Blogulator Radio, Episode 2, from...
the home of Waller and Adobe.
Just let's...
The Reckoning!
I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And we have with us today, we have our friend Paul, who is our special guest.
Paul, say hi to all the viewers at home.
Hi.
I told you someone specific to say hi to.
Oh, hi, all the listeners at home.
Very good. Paul is a regular Blogulator reader.
Yes,
very regular.
He's actually...
I have a lot of fiber with which I stay regular.
Paul's actually... this is the first time we're meeting Paul in person. He has been writing into us at Blogulator.com and just...
Yeah, it's kind of weird. He just kind of showed
up. You know, I love your work. I want to meet you guys. I want to see your faces. I want to touch your skin.
I want to sleep in your bed.
Yeah, I want to eat a sandwich in your bed while you watch me.
Isn't that Dr. Peace?
Dr. Peace did eat a sandwich
in
my bed.
Yeah, that's true. He did do that.
But he's not here right now. We've got Paul, number one fan.
Number one stunner.
Not at all crazy so far. Does not seem like he's trying to kill us. So we're happy about that.
That's always good.
We're here to talk to you today. A little mini episode.
Yeah, episode 2. And the way that our podcast, that's not a blog, it's not a podcast necessarily, it's a netcast. On the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. Still getting the terminology. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Evan, we got it down. We're going to talk to you a little bit about some news, recent news about TV shows.
What's in the news?
What's in the news? And then we're going to have a miniature big talk. And the purpose of that miniature big talk is basically just to convince Chris and Dr. Peace, a couple of bloggers on the Blogulator, why you should watch Archer and why your opinion is not valid about that in particular.
So, without further ado, we're going to begin episode 2 of Blogulator Radio because
our opinions are valid.
So what's new in the news, Qualler?
Well, first off, probably the biggest news on cable TV right now is the drama that unfolded a couple weeks ago regarding the renewal of Mad Men. Mm-hmm. There were a few tense days where it sounded like Mad Men may go on without head writer Matthew Weiner.
Oh, no.
But don't worry, because he signed a contract.
Phew.
He signed a contract with the producing company Lionsgate, and it's Mad Men is officially renewed with Matthew Weiner on board for at least 2 more seasons, with an option for a 3rd final season. Matthew Weiner came out and said that Mad Men will continue for the next 2 or 3 seasons, and that he doesn't see the show going on beyond 7 seasons. So, in that regard, we have somewhat of an end date in place for Mad Men.
And he's kind of said since the beginning of the show that he wanted it to be something with an end date. He didn't want it to just go on and on, right?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of, the idea is it starts in 1960 and it's going to
end in 1970. So as we know from television, writers always have a plan in their mind.
Yes.
And David Lindelof.
And that's not at all being sarcastic. It's a little sarcastic.
Uh-huh.
So Paul, you're a regular watcher of Mad Men. You recently caught up. Are you excited for the prospect of of more seasons of Mad Men.
He's making a face.
Absolutely. I love the writing. I love the acting. I'm really excited to hear that Matthew Weiner is on board to continue the show.
Now, would you have watched the show had it continued without Matthew Weiner?
Well, I'm willing to give anything a chance.
Sure. We know that.
Donald Draper is quite the man. And I will watch anything that he does with Sterling Cooper, Draper Price.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But Matthew Weiner has excellently carried the show through several seasons, and I would hate to see how the show would go without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? One thing that kind of bugged me about the whole process is Matthew Weiner, and I'm not familiar with the negotiations whatsoever, but he kind of came off as kind of a dick. In the whole thing.
Would you say he was a wiener?
I would say, yes. That's...
Okay, aren't you worried, Waller, that he's going to listen to this podcast and his feelings are going to be hurt?
Nope.
Because I've heard writers have really delicate, tender feelings.
That's actually a great segue, because the next thing I wanted to talk about is the controversy surrounding some comments that Game of Thrones author, and Game of Thrones, of course, upcoming HBO series, which is very highly buzzed about.
Nerd alert.
And very rave reviews have been coming out. Recently, the author of the books that the series is based on, George R.R. Martin, said that basically he was afraid that when he finishes the final books of the series that he would be, quote-unquote, pulling a Lost. And with that regard, a really shitty ending is basically what he was getting at. And Damon Lindelof, ever the prolific tweeter, got right up on that and quickly...
He twatted his...
He twatted all over the tweets or something.
His displeasure with his comments.
Yeah. So
what did he say? I thought it was funny. He said something like... He
said something about these comments were a goldmine for his therapist, which, you know, it's very clever, I think.
Because obviously he doesn't give a shit, because look at what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, he created Lost. Right. Lost is a very popular show. It's very, to me, an excellent show.
And I would have to say, along those lines, Matthew Weiner, if you're listening, you go ahead and be as much of a dick as you want to be, because Mad Men is one of the best things that's been on television in recent history. And I think at some point you've earned it. Let the writers have their day. You know, the actors always get to be dicks. We just expect it of them, right?
That's
the producers. What is a producer but a giant penis? And, you know, I just, as a writer, Matthew, if you're listening, I'd love to work with you someday. as a writer, well, you know, fan fiction mostly, but still.
Little slash fic.
Little once in a while. But, you know, I think that let's be arrogant once in a while.
Yeah.
I think
I guess arrogance is well earned sometimes.
We're not all, you know, staunch Lutheran.
Oh.
Scandinavians.
Burn.
But I am.
Yeah. Two of us are.
Paul, his name is spelled with two A's.
Yeah.
The extra A is for awesome.
That's true.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome,
what else is awesome? Speaking of not awesome, FX recently decided that my favorite new show of 2011, Lights Out, would have one and only one season, and that it would be canceled at the end of its run.
We're sad about that here in the Qualler household.
Yeah,
we've been watching it and enjoying it.
You know, FX has done a really good job at developing shows that on the surface feel really macho and really visceral, but are actually very thoughtful dramas that have rich characters and you know, as our friend the Drax calls it, the poor man's HBO is better than the real HBO sometimes. But, you know, this is too bad, and this is actually coming off the fact that FX recently also canceled another highly thought-of show, Terriers, which, unfortunately, both Terriers and Lights Out were really suffering ratings-wise for FX and didn't hit the key demographics that FX looks for. But, you know, Bridget, what do you think that says about the prospect of scripted shows on cable? Seems like, you know, in the past, you always kind of thought you had a scripted show on cable. It didn't need to be a huge hit. We're starting to find out that that's not necessarily the case.
Because I think, like, you know, network television before it, cable TV is, you know, they're finding out that they could cash in on the reality stuff too. Cupcake Wars, for example.
We watched a lot of Cupcake Wars this week. Actually, it wasn't Cupcake Wars. It was DC Cupcakes.
I got it confused with the other reality show about cupcakes. Because, you know, even if those shows get kind of middling ratings, they're so cheap to produce.
Yeah.
Compared to a scripted show, that it's, you know, it's kind of worth it. And I'm sad because when network television went the way of reality TV, it seemed like at the same time, it was kind of the rise of the cable television channels as far as their scripted dramas, scripted comedies, starting with HBO, but, you know, AMC, FX, Showtime, Stars.
Well, what do you guys think about the prospects, then, of web-only content taking up to fill that void?
What is web?
What is web?
What is the internet?
The internet.
It is part of the DARPANET. Al Gore started it, right?
Oh, yeah,
that guy.
No, you know, I don't think anything that's on the internet is really very worthwhile.
Nothing at all. Ever.
It's a lot of bars.
Internet is a dying...
Anyone could just record themselves talking for like a half an hour and post it up there.
It's
and
garbage.
How do you wade through all the crap to get to the good stuff? Like... Blogulator Radio. That's one of the good things.
Tastemakers.
And other such netcasts from the Fancy Pants Gangsters.
Right. All excellent.
I would say.
High quality.
That's an interesting
tell
question,
us
Paul.
More about, are you watching web-only programming, Paul, or is there any in mind that you have in...
No, it's just more of a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I could see that being the... To some extent, the wave of the future. I think that the way it's going now is it's once something gets popular enough on the internet, then it goes to cable.
True.
So I wonder if at some point they're just going to cut out that step. And
I mean, you watch things like Dr. Singalong or Dr. Horrible's Singalong blog, they're talking about making a feature length piece of that now.
And that can only be good.
Could only be good.
Oh, for sure.
I hope that what I actually hope happens is that, you know, internet continues to be a venue for creative new works, things like that, people to get noticed. But I hope it doesn't completely replace good scripted drama on cable television, also on network television. I'm hoping that America wakes up and we're done with some of the reality.
Interestingly, talking about the web-only stuff, Netflix, the ever-popular streaming content service that also provides DVDs, that's kind of the way they're marketing themselves now. They recently signed up for 2 seasons of a new original TV show that would only be on Netflix starring Kevin Spacey. I think it's called House of Cards.
Wow, so directly to Netflix.
Directly to Netflix. That should be interesting.
Speaking of Netflix, I believe they just signed a deal to carry Mad Men reruns as well.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
that makes me happy.
What do you know? So
not all is lost, although... It's lights out for lights out. it's good to laugh again. We've been crying in the Qualler Hustle for a long time because I really liked that show. And
it's too bad.
We're sad. But I think that brings us to our.
It's our mini big talk.
Mini big talk.
Our second episode.
The littlest big talk in town.
Mm.
Kind of like Reno, the Reno of talks.
Yes.
Conway could be dangerous.
Yeah. You know what's dangerous? Your obsession with me.
Just
seriously, Lana, call Kenny Loggins because you're in the danger zone. From Top Gun.
Just be careful.
No.
Whoever he is, he ghosted an ID file onto our worldwide database.
Yeah, which you probably found while researching me. Lana, because you're in the danger zone!
And those were his last words.
How'd you get life insurance, Lana? Don't they know you're in the danger zone? Lana. 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 Lana!
What? danger zone.
What we wanted to talk about is really directed toward Chris and Dr. Peace. And anybody who's anybody who's not yet a believer in speaking of FX.
Hell, I'm a believer.
Yeah, I'm a believer and a believer.
Okay.
Of FX's animated, hilarious, probably the best comedy on TV right now, Archer.
Yeah. Paul Qualler and I, Bridget being my name, are all big fans of Archer. I, at first, didn't necessarily want to give it a chance because I was like, oh, another animated adult comedy, whatever. And it took me, like, a couple of episodes to really get into it and appreciate it, but, man, it is funny.
It's funny.
It is funny. So if you're you're wavering, don't waver anymore. But I think that Paul really has some things to say about what makes Archer just so hilarious.
Well, one thing I really appreciate about the show is how they try to set it in the 60s, and yet it's a complete and total anachronism because they make all the current pop culture references. And it all
is it real? Is it supposed to be the 60s? Well, I never really got that.
There are often references to things like the Kennedys and things like that, as though it were taking place actually in the 60s. However, it doesn't actually happen there. It happens wherever it needs to happen.
Certainly.
So I kind of appreciate that. It's similar to the newer James Bond movies, where it doesn't really...
It transcends time and place.
Absolutely. The stories just, they take style cues and cultural cues from whatever they feel like using.
Yeah.
It allows a lot of different types of humor to take place in the show.
Yeah, I like that. I like that they play the kind of spy plots pretty straight. They actually, you know, there's actual danger, there's actual stakes that the characters are in, but it still is pretty absurdist and pretty just off the wall hilarious. And so,
frankly, some of the best jokes are the office politics, which I think is something that you don't really think about when you watch like a Bond film. Is, you know, what's going on with Moneypenny,
right?
You
know, yeah, and like mother issues,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yes, the mother son relationship between Mrs. Archer and Archer,
played by Jessica Walter of Arrested Development, and
very
H.
funny.
John Benjamin. Voice actor extraordinaire.
And that's actually something we'd spoken of earlier, was just the general voice cast ability in the show. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the show. I mean, you have Chris Parnell, you have
Aisha Taylor.
Aisha Taylor.
Judy Greer. Also Arrested Development.
Otherwise known as the ugly friend in many romantic comedies.
Many romantic comedies.
The friend
comedies.
In everything.
And the ugly sister in The Village.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And excellent. She says, see, this is the last time you're going to see these.
Mm-hmm. Arrested Development. her character is quickly becoming my favorite character on the show.
Carol? Carol? That's... a joke.
That is a joke.
Sorry.
She plays a secretary in the office, and she's so funny.
She's just like a funny button.
I don't know how much to say about it without spoiling the jokes. It's really almost a laugh a minute kind of thing.
Absolutely. It's very dense comedy, much like 30 Rock especially.
Yes, that's a good way
to... Mm-hmm. Blink or you'll miss the joke.
What?
Or whatever.
I don't think
blink
that's
and you'll
cough,
miss the joke.
Cough and you'll miss the joke.
Yeah.
Don't blink, because then you'll miss the joke, because the jokes happen fast enough that if you blink, you'll miss it.
So one thing I think that's difficult for some for a lot of viewers, myself included sometimes, to get over is, it's animated, so...
Right, that was my deal.
So how do you get over that? How does regular viewer...
Well, what would Mrs. Archer say?
Archer, I don't know.
Well, in defense of animation, I've made this argument many times, but I will make it again in this forum, which is that one of the major advantages of animation is that you must suspend your disbelief from the moment you begin watching the show, so therefore anything that happens visually thereon after is completely plausible.
Hmm.
And it allows you to do things with a show that you would not ever be able to do with live action, because you can defy physics, you can defy morals, and you can defy
everything. You can defy morals.
That's a very good point, yeah.
And I like the ability of animation to tell whatever story you choose to tell on the same budget.
Yes.
So you can be in any exotic locale, or you can just be in the same office all day long. If the jokes work, the jokes work.
Yes.
That's true. So there's not. It's not about snazzy, you know, big budget things to draw you in.
Yep.
It's just got to be funny, and
it's
funny
blow your laughs.
Funny it is. So if you haven't seen the show, watch it. If you are not familiar, it's a FX original series. It's now in its second season. Is that correct?
Yeah, second. We're nearing the end of the second season.
Nearing the end of the second season. The
first season is available on Netflix Instant View, so you can catch up on the first season.
And it's about basically a mother.
Mallory Archer.
Her son, Archer.
Sterling Archer.
Yes.
And what's it called?
ISIS.
So they're
a secret agency organization that
spy.
They all work for.
Or some sort of private MI6 type organization.
There we go.
Based in the United States.
And
Archer is a real asshole.
There's a romantic interest of Archer.
Arthur.
No, we're not talking
not
about that
film. Russell Brand.
So I will be seeing it, because Laugh Factory.
Who does not love
Laugh
Man
Factory?
Funny.
Oh, I hate
Always
Man
funny.
Children so much. Just grow the fuck up. And I guess that's what
Sterling
Mallory Archer
is.
Would say
that's
to
true.
Viewers who can't get over the fact that, oh, but it's animated. I don't like things that are animated. Well, grow the fuck up and watch it. So that's what I have to say to you. And get yourself a stiff drink and be prepared to laugh, because it really is, it's funny, it's a lot of kind of, like, Paul and Quala were saying, kind of the mundane office politics and, like, romances, a lot of mother-son, totally dysfunctional relationship stuff happening against the backdrop of these secret agents who are going out on risking their lives and these crazy adventures and kind of still getting caught up in their petty little day-to-day things and... it's funny. Archer is the quintessential man-child, you know, handsome and fabulous and just a total idiot.
Trainwreck, yeah.
He's a prick, but he's lovable.
Right.
He is quite lovable.
Yeah, there's a recent two-episode kind of a story arc that was about Archer getting cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, I actually kind of... felt sorry for Archer, even though he was still a total asshole.
Yeah.
It was surprisingly effective at making you care about this character, but still laugh at the fact that what a jerk he is, but also cheer for him. So,
yeah,
get over it. Watch
build
it.
Build a bridge.
Build
get over it.
Exactly. Do you want to end with anything about Archer?
One last
personal appeal to Dr. Peace. And Chris. Paul.
Well, listen, if you like puns, you're going to like Archer.
All right.
Yeah, that's true.
And if they don't like puns?
You're still going to like Archer.
That about says it all.
I'll say that there was one joke in a recent episode that made me actually literally think Dr. Peace would have... Literally. Dr. Peace would love this, and it involved a scientist who was planning on marrying this projection of an anime princess, and she died because the hard drive was wiped out. And I actually thought, wow, Dr. Peace would really like this show.
Mark arrogantly believed that Dr. Peace could relate to this directly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I assume that's what you're into, right?
Dr. Peace? Yeah.
You're a total
creep. You're going to have to respond to that. Hopefully we'll get some responses on the bloggylater.com.
Or on our blog at the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network when we post this episode.
Yes. So stay tuned for those. Dr. Peace, Chris, we look forward to hearing a rebuttal on this point, counterpoint, Archer Rocks.
And to all the listeners out there, I'll be showing up at your doorsteps so that you can tell me how you thought of this podcast or this netcast.
This netcast.
Along.
That's true. We're sending Paul out doorstep by doorstep to get you to watch Archer. He basically is not going to leave your couch until you watch it. So I would just do it.
You know, if you want me to leave, you're going to have to watch that about the stuff of Archer.
Yeah.
Archer is what I call that little bit of sunlight on the horizon after Lights Out was canceled, and my world seemed filled with nothing but darkness, especially on FX.
Yeah.
And I was so angry with FX, and I was like, what are you doing? And they were all, but Bridget, how about Archer? And I was
like, I can't stay.
That's for another day.
Yeah.
That's for another day.
FX, we ain't mad at you. We're a little disappointed. Actually, you know what? We're disappointed in America.
Yeah. Come on, America.
I'm not disappointed in America.
No, America's great.
I'm disappointed in Europe.
Yeah, with their stronger currency.
Europeans.
Anyway.
Yeah. So this is the end of episode 2 of the Blogulator.com, of Blogulator Radio.
Blogulator Radio, talking about TV. Talking about TV.
Because
TV talking. Our opinions are valid.